I'm Dr. John Davis, and today we're going to talk about the brain and the brain's effect on our psychology, or at least its effect on how we feel. And the brain is a big subject, so we're not going to go very deeply into it today, just going to talk about one aspect of how the brain operates, particularly how neurons operate, the brain's nerves. So what we're going to find out today is pretty interesting. You're going to find out how Prozac works and cocaine works. These two drugs do not do anything to you themselves. That is, they don't stimulate good feelings themselves. They actually cause your body to produce or make more of a natural substance or a couple of natural substances that make you feel good. So that's sort of an interesting process. Let's talk about how it works. Your brain is made up of billions of what are called neurons, and picture this, if you will. This is what a neuron looks like. And so on the left, picture a fried egg, and this fried egg, though, is not just a very smooth-edged fried egg. It has a nucleus, like a ordinary fried egg does, but it also has these points coming out from it. It's like somebody dropped the egg into the pan and it sort of splattered out, and it's got points coming out around the nucleus in addition to the sort of solid surface around the nucleus. Anyway, so this sort of splattered fried egg is the left-hand side, and these little splattered things that extend out from the egg or the nucleus are called dendrites. So these dendrites receive messages. They are the receiving part of these billions of neurons that are inside your brain. Now, these things are microscopic, these neurons that are in your brain, although they get bigger in the rest of your body. The rest of your nervous system is made up of neurons also, but they can be quite large. You can see them. They can be up to even a foot long, maybe. Well, anyway, the left-hand side looks like this fried egg. And then out from this fried egg, there extends a part that you can imagine being three or four times as long as the fried egg. It looks like a tapeworm extending out from it. That's called the axon. And it's segmented, that's why I called it a tapeworm. So on the left we have the fried egg, then we have a tapeworm coming out of the fried egg, and then on the right side, at the end of the tapeworm, we have something that looks kind of like seaweed. And on the end of the seaweed, there are these little balls, little bulbs, you might say. And so there's something inside those bulbs we'll talk about in just a second. So you get the picture. The receiver of the neuron are the dendrites, which are up on the outer edges of the fried egg, dendrites, and they send the message down through the axon, which is the tapeworm part of the neuron. And then the message goes along to the right side, which looks like seaweed. Okay? Now, the right side of the neuron is called the terminal branches. And in the terminal branches, there are these little bulbs on the end, as I said earlier. And these bulbs manufacture what are called neurotransmitters. Inside these bulbs, there are what are called vesicles, and that word is just what it sounds like. They're vessels. They carry neurotransmitters. And they're, now remember where we are. We're on the right side, terminal branches, in the little bulbs on the very end, and manufactured in there are neurotransmitters. Now, neurotransmitters are chemicals, that little chemical molecules that do all sorts of things in our body. Among them are acetylcholine, which is necessary for our muscles to function properly, dopamine, and many others that do various things. Serotonin, which also helps us feel good and helps us relax, along with dopamine, and a great number of others that we could name. For our purposes, we're going to stick with just the ones that make us feel good. All right, so the production of these neurotransmitters happens there in this neuron, and they're held inside a little circle. Imagine these circles inside the bulbs on the end of the terminal branches, tinier circles holding neurotransmitters. Let's call the neurotransmitters blue dots. They're often depicted that way in pictures. And they are inside these vesicles, which are inside the terminal branches. All right. Now, the vesicles bump against the end of the terminal branch, and the terminal branch, if the neuron is receiving a certain kind of signal, opens, makes a little opening, and the vesicle comes up to that opening, opens up, and lets the blue dots, the neurotransmitters, out into the space between two neurons. And there is a tiny space between all neurons called the synaptic gap. You've probably heard of a synapse before. It's sort of made it into the common language. So this is a little gap between neurons. All right, so the dendrites then of one neuron, remember I said were the receivers, these are up on the other end of the neuron, but they're going to receive this neurotransmitter that is sent by the sending neurons. And let's imagine now that we've got two neurons side by side. Actually, they're all bunched together in truth, but let's imagine we've got them end to end, and create the picture again. On the left, the fried egg, the axon in the middle that looks like a tapeworm, and then the terminal branches on the right looks like seaweed. Well, those bump up against, or come very close to bumping up against, the dendrites, the receivers of another neuron. But there's a little gap between them. All right. So I said that the vesicles dump the neurotransmitters out into this gap. Let's call them blue dots. So these blue dots are floating around out there, and there are a certain number of them, and the more of them there are, then let's say particularly of serotonin and dopamine, the more of them there are, the better you are going to feel. Why? Because what they do is they go and dock, that is, they join. For just a fraction of a second, they will join with the receiving part of another neuron, the dendrites, and connect up and cause a reaction that makes you feel good. All right? So then, once they've done that, once they've docked, then they release and go back into the synaptic gap. So they are not absorbed by the next neuron, the next one in line. They just dock, and then they let go, just like a ship might move up to a dock and then back off, back out into the water. So they move up to the dock and then back off out into the synaptic gap. And then, if things are happening normally, they're taken back up by the sending neuron. That is, those little vesicles that came to the end of the terminal branch now reabsorb or take back the neurotransmitters. That process of taking it back is called reuptake, and that's a term that is often asked about on psychology exams, reuptake. So there are a number of terms to remember here. We've got neuron, we've got synaptic gap, we've got neurotransmitter, we've got nucleus, axon, and terminal branches, which are the parts of the neuron. So lots of terms, lots of new terms to remember. All right, now back to the story though. So these neurotransmitters are taken back up so that there are not so many of them out there in that synaptic gap, because if there are too many out there, your body knows that's not good, or your brain knows that's not a good thing. That you want to have just the right number out there. You don't want to have people walking around high all the time and unable to think. You want them to feel just good enough, not depressed, but just good enough. Well, certain drugs or certain times, for example, we may not be producing enough for one reason or another of these neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine. And if your body, for whatever reason, diet or things that are happening in your life, for whatever reason, it's not producing enough of them to make you feel good, then wouldn't it be good if somehow you could block the reuptake of those neurotransmitters, keep those blue dots from being withdrawn back into the sending neuron? If you could, you'd leave more of them out there in the synaptic gap to go and dock with that next neuron to make you feel good. So if we could somehow block the reuptake, then that would be a good thing if you're feeling bad. Well, guess what? That's what Prozac does. Prozac blocks the reuptake of those two neurotransmitters and probably some others, and allows more of them to stay out there in the synaptic gap to go through that water. It's not exactly water, but through that fluid, and dock with the next neuron. And if there are more of them, there'll be more dockings and you'll feel better. All right. Now, guess what else works the same way? Cocaine. Cocaine also blocks reuptake. So what you want to imagine is that these two drugs, Prozac and cocaine, the molecules of those drugs come and fit into the gaps, the holes that are made in the terminal branches where these vesicles have opened up and let the neurotransmitters out. They come, fit into those holes, and block the reuptake. And that's how they work. They then, all those neurotransmitters that have been emitted, put out into the synaptic gap, are going to stay out there instead of being taken back up and keep doing the same thing, docking with the next neuron over and over and over again, and causing you to feel high in the case of cocaine and just not depressed in the case of Prozac. So the problem, by the way, with these drugs, and particularly with cocaine, which works at a higher level, blocking even more of the neurotransmitters reuptake, the problem is your body starts to learn, well, it learns that it doesn't need to produce all these neurotransmitters, and because, you know, you're blocking the reuptake, and so it doesn't produce them anymore, it stops producing them. And if you were to stop taking the cocaine, then you go through this serious withdrawal period in which your body is relearning how to produce these neurotransmitters. It can do that, but it takes a while, and you feel very bad during that time, and you require more and more of it as you go along in order to block the proper number of reuptake slots, we'll call them, because your body produces less and less. So there's a really negative side effect of taking a drug like cocaine, and perhaps over the long run of taking Prozac, although doctors, when they prescribe it, will bring you off of it very, very gradually and in order to allow your body to rebuild its ability to produce these feel-good substances, these neurotransmitters like serotonin. All right, well, that's how that part of the brain works. And as I said, that's only a small portion of how the brain works. And it's the only thing that I usually hold my students responsible for, although a little bit later on we will talk about the limbic system in the brain and the hypothalamus and a couple of other parts of the brain, the amygdala and others that have to do with emotions, but not too much biology in the courses that I teach. The next podcast will be about the nature-nurture issue, and I will say this about it right now. The nature-nurture issue is that controversy in psychology that is about what has the most effect on us, our genes and our biology in general, or how we are nurtured and our environment and what our environment does to us, what effect it has on us. And that controversy, so-called controversy, has pretty much been settled, although there are people who still come down on one side or the other of that issue. Now it's pretty well been agreed upon that each one of these makes a contribution and that the contribution is probably about equal. One affects the other. You cannot do without either one, and when you try to explain human behavior. So that's where we're headed next, and we'll close for now. And this is Dr. John Davis, and I will talk to you later. Thank you for listening.